Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to Art Studies Live. I'm your host, Rick Young. Art Studies Live is the blogcast radio outreach of ARC, the Apologetic Research Center. ARC is a Christian ministry specializing in evangelism, Christian apologetics, and countercult studies. For more information about ARC, go to the World Wide Web at www.arcstudies.org. Again, that's www.arcstudies.org. Right. Today's segment, our inaugural edition of ARC Studies Live, is What is ARC and Christian Apologetics? On air with me this morning are Jerry Robbins,
Good
a member
morning.
Of ARC's founding board of directors and former admin finance director. Morning, Jerry.
Morning.
And we have Mr. Christopher Santiago, ARC's intelligence director in Columbus, Ohio. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
Got you guys up good and early this morning, huh?
Yes.
If
I got
you want
a frog in my throat.
Say again?
I got a frog in my throat.
Well, it is kind of early in the morning. I think going forward, I didn't think about the West Coast callers. We may have individuals who, you keep in mind, you got attacked 3 hours back, so it's roughly 5 a.m. in California. But the bulk of the individuals who hit the ARC study site tend to be on the East Coast, so that may be something that we'll look at going forward. Okay. You can call in on air with your questions or comments. We will be taking questions after we have a little bit of talk, a little bit of banter, try to be entertaining and engaging. But then we will take some questions and or comments. You can call in by dialing 646-652-2905. Again, that's area code 646-652-2905. How are you guys doing this morning?
Well, I'm doing good. It's good to hear Chris's voice. I haven't heard Chris in a while. I'm in South Bend, Indiana, so you know, I haven't seen him in a while. So it's good to see you, Chris, or hear your voice anyway.
Hey, same here. I haven't heard you in a while either.
Mm-hmm.
Heard about you though.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just kind of to give a little bit of background about ARC and how all of us came to know each other. Actually, Jerry and I have been pretty much best friends for 4 decades.
So mm-hmm.
We went through everything pretty much together as far as growing up. Joined the Marine Corps, spent some time in the Marine Corps. Matter of fact, I joined first, and I came back and got my buddy, and he joined, and then he led the way with marriage, and now we've both been married a little over 20 years. But back in 1986... we had a common friend, a gentleman named Keith Posey, and Keith was a powerful Christian, powerful Christian apologetics. As a matter of fact, Chris never got a chance to meet Chris, Keith Posey,
uh-huh.
But Jerry, give me your take on Keith. What did you think of him?
Well, Chris, the most amazing thing about Chris is you had to see Keith Posey. The amazing thing about Keith Posey is that. What sticks out in my mind is his transformation. You had to know him before Christ and then after Christ to witness that amazing change that took place in his life. There was no doubt that there was before Keith, and then after. You can see once Christ touched his life, he really changed. Because growing up, let's confess that we were all kind of like wannabe thugs and hanging out there doing our own thing, and we were all raised in Christian homes. We need to point that out. But we went astray. We tried to be cool and, you know, hung out and everything like that in the streets, going to the parties and stuff like that. Doing chasing the things that the world normally chases. And then when Christ got a hold of Keith's life, you could really see he was it was a powerful change. And he was a powerful witness to those that we used to run the streets with, because they knew the Keith before, and they knew that a change had took place in his life. And you know, he was just one of those guys that you could just actually, in fact, my wife used to call him the man with the glow, because after Christ, you could really just see the Holy Spirit literally, far as physically on him, I guess you could say, not just in character, but he just had a glow about him, a different walk, and he was very, because of that, he was very, his life, when you came in contact with him, you just couldn't help but be influenced by the new life that he was living. And I think that's what stuck out most about me about Keith Posey's life, was that, the transformation.
Absolutely. And, you know, and the thing about Keith, from my perspective, was, you know, again, as Jerry said, you know, just knowing him and knowing him on the other side, I mean, he always was the dapper, you know, ladies' man, you know. Mm-hmm. And when he came to Christ, as much emphasis as he placed on those other things in his life, he began to place that type of focus on ministry. Anyway, the way that Keith plays into this, and if you guys really want to get a good picture of, or at least an outline of Keith as it relates to ARC, Keith was one of the founding members back in 1986, and this entire thing can be found at our website, www.arcstudies.org. Again, that's www.arcstudies.org, and you can click the About Us tab in the menu bar, and from there, just click on history, and you'll kind of get a picture of the overview of what happened in that situation. I got just so you guys know, we were expecting to have Ron Thompson. Ron was a member of ARC's founding board of directors. Currently he's the operations director, and he's also currently the interim pastor of the Rising Star Baptist Church in Youngstown, Ohio. He was going to be an on-air guest. I just got a text message from him. He's down with the flu and unable to talk. So, okay. Yeah, certainly our prayers go out for him.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, back to Keith Posey.
Not for sure.
When Keith tragically, well, actually you can say to the glory of God, he had no fear of going anywhere. Many times you hear of Christian ministries who spend time, you know, in safe places. Keith went into some of the worst neighborhoods of our hometown, and Jerry, Keith, and I are all from Youngstown, Ohio, originally.
Mm-hmm.
And he went into some of the worst neighborhoods and just to evangelize.
Mm-hmm.
And tragically, one night, Keith was killed. You know, people have this. How many times, Chris, have you heard that if you're a Christian, that nothing bad will happen to you, especially in today's age of God wants you to be healthy and prosper? How often do you hear that?
I mean, that's the going thing now.
Mm-hmm.
You hear on all these, especially on TV.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you hear. You're selling a false
prosperity message, I think. You hear that as what they call it, you know. So, yeah.
If you turn on pretty much 98% of Christian television, you'll hear that. In fact, Madam Jerry, I'm sure you heard it as well. When Keith died, what I heard was, well, was he doing anything? Was there secret sin?
Yeah.
You know, and I just thought it was absolutely ridiculous, mm-hmm. not to mention the fact that at that particular moment I wanted to walk in the flesh and not the spirit. You'll
mm-hmm.
get that when you get home.
Because
I just thought it was absolutely ridiculous. But two things about what happened to him when he died that I think were really to the glory of God.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, as much as they would have liked to have, well, three things, actually. Number one, where he was killed at was actually in one of the ritziest neighborhoods of Youngstown. So it's crazy that out of all the terrible places that he went, someone tried to rob him in one of the ritziest places, right up the street from the mayor.
Right, exactly.
Okay. So no matter where you go, it doesn't matter. That's number one. The second thing is, as much as the media in Youngstown would like to have portrayed it as a drug deal gone bad, because Keith was always dapper, as much as they would like to have portrayed it that, they couldn't do anything but glorify God, because the person who robbed him and killed him went into his bag looking for something, and what they found was small Bibles and tracts.
His battle bag, as we call it.
The battle bag. Our brother didn't give out tracts. He gave Bibles, study Bibles away.
Right.
Jerry, you want to say something?
No, that it was just like you were saying, it was ironic. A person is, he was robbed, you know, as we can tell from the evidence, his pockets were found inside out. And the thing that was so hurtful is that, I mean, like you said, there was nothing on him but weapons of Christ, I guess you could say, is tracts and Bibles and things that really, for his evangelism. And it was just a sad incident. And so many times, you know, Keith is African American, and so many times when you find a young man killed at that age, you know, a lot of times it was, you know, people say it was drug related, you know, as they say. But that was something that, of course, could not be said about him, because he was really, what you call, they use that old Negro spiritual. He was on the battlefield for Christ.
Absolutely.
You know, his funeral was just, it was something else, wasn't it? Can you remember the people that just came from all over and the comments that people said about him and whatnot? It's sad that people get their flowers after they die, but his flowers, the things that people said about him, you know, Keith was greatly loved in the Christian circle.
I tell you what was funny is that my father-in-law's brother is a pastor up in Cleveland, Ohio, and I attended the funeral of another one of their brothers who died, who was mean as a rattlesnake, and I remember people were getting up saying nice words about him, and I remember that my father-in-law's brother got up and said, well, he said, one thing is true in life. He said, when you're alive, people lie on you. When you die, they'll lie for you. You know, and that's how it is generally. In the case of Keith, people never recognized the depth of his service to Christ until after his death. And I say that as someone who Keith called his best friend.
Mm-hmm.
And at his funeral, when I was supposed to speak words of comfort and eulogy for him, you know, and, you know, they give the 2 minutes when people can get up and if they want to say anything. And so I was going to wait until that was over. And it was just the craziest thing you've ever want to see. A line formed to the back of the church.
Right. Yeah.
To the back of the church, and everyone who stepped up to the podium began whatever they were going to say by saying, "Hi, my name is whatever, and Keith was my best friend."
Friend.
Now,
right.
What's funny is I did not know these people.
Right.
I didn't know 90% of
the people. That was funny. That was so funny that you would make that. And like you said, everybody was introduced as Keith was my best friend. And, of course, you know, you kind of like, well, he was my best friend. You know, it was one of those things. But Keith was definitely a servant of God and a friend to men.
With tremendous people skills, and he really cared.
Right.
As a matter of fact, one woman who I had never seen, wrote a poem called Who'll Go Into Babylon Now?
Mm-hmm.
Who'll Go Into Babylon Now? And it was the fact that Keith had the nerve to go into the worst neighborhoods, and they felt that other Christians didn't unless they came out. And Chris, you and I have laughed about this often, about how, and I'm not trying to mock my brothers, but I just think it's funny when I see them, when they go out to community outreach and they take the velvet rope and block off a corner, and they all stand in a group behind a corner like Fat Albert and the Cosby Kids with a tambourine.
Yeah.
But they don't mingle with the people. Mm-hmm. They don't try to meet the people at the point of their need. And I'm not trying to mock them, but that's what's become community outreach.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, back to Keith. The beautiful thing, the funeral ended with two people giving their lives to Christ. Now, let me emphasize, no eulogy was preached. This was purely on the testimony of the people who lined themselves to the back of the church.
Mm-hmm.
When people heard the works of this brother, and again, I didn't know 90% of these people. And to this day, individuals still honor his life. I believe there's even a tract out using his life as an example of what Christian evangelism is. But anyway, Keith and I, years ago, we started studying together back in 1985, And we looked at the Christian church and what was on television at the time. You had your Robert Hiltons and a little bit of Kenneth Hagin. Copeland was mm-hmm. out there, but he wasn't that big. Probably the dominant personality was Jimmy Swagger.
Right at that.
You know, but one thing that we noticed was we started noticing that pretty much anything went.
Mm-hmm.
And there's conversations that Keith and Jerry and Ron and other ARC member Tom Young, we had conversations that, you know, anything seems to go. And so Keith and I talked about, you know, what the church needs is a SWAT team. Someone who's not afraid when Jehovah's Witnesses knock on the door to talk to these people.
Mm-hmm.
Because these are individuals who are trying to share their faith with us, and they believe what they're saying. And the reality is that if they're right, then we are men most miserable. And if we're right, then they're on their way to a living, burning hell.
Mm-hmm.
And if we truly care about them, then someone needs to be able to answer the questions they have.
Mm-hmm.
And so we talked about an organization. Unfortunately, we just talked about it. It just became talk until after Keith's death.
Mm-hmm.
After his death, I mean, it really was heavy on my heart that we needed to do something more. And so that's when I contacted Jerry and Tom Young and Mr. Robert MacArthur and Ronald Thompson, and we met in I think it was November of 1994, wasn't it, Jerry?
I believe so.
And we incorporated as the Apologetic Research Center. And we wanted to be able to give those answers, to be able to provide community outreach, to be able to provide countercult studies, to be able to provide evangelism studies and training and whatever. And to make a long story short, eventually I moved to Columbus, Ohio. As a matter of fact, Keith died 2 weeks before he was supposed to move here, and I met Mr. Christopher Santiago. Now, that was an interesting story, Chris. Should I spill all the beans?
Oh, yeah, I have no shame in my game.
When I met Mr. Christopher Santiago, like many of us, he had been the product of a terrible church. You want to give us a little insight on that, Chris? Just some of the things that you were encountering?
Oh, well, I basically was learned about God. I never really was taught to know God. You know, from the time I dedicated my life to Christ, you know, I just started learning about God, and everywhere I went, you know, all I found was, you know, legalism. You know, that's the term where you just taught, what can you do for God, and what, you know, because of what he's done for you.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no real relationship in between that. You know, it's just, this is what you're supposed to do because of what he did. And, you know, it caused, you know, it didn't cause too much problems wherever I went, in the circles, you know, that I went. At least I didn't notice that it did until I met Mr. Rick Young, which was, you know, really fortunate. And he's better at telling the story than I am.
Well, I thought it was interesting that when I met Chris, we were both working for a prominent furniture company here in the Columbus, Ohio area. And I don't know, Chris was a hellraiser. He pretty much was. He did things that I just was amazed he got away with. You know, but more importantly than that, you know, it seemed that you know, there was, from my perspective, there was too much intelligence with the brother for him to not be, you know, not too much intelligence and too much understanding about what was going on around him for him not to have questions about Christ and the types of things that normally in life things, you know, would lead you to.
Mm-hmm.
And so what ended up happening was I had a small Bible study in the company,
mm-hmm.
and there was a gentleman who was at the study who listened to rap music, and one day Chris approached me and said, you know, should he be listening to rap music? And I can't remember what I said, but I think it was probably smart alecky, wasn't it, Chris?
No, you I told you that you need to tell him. that he needs to stop listening to that music, because we had had a conversation, but I felt since I wasn't living for God, you know, I shouldn't really get into that conversation too much, but he kind of drawed me into it, so, you know, I told him what I thought, but then I felt like, you know, I knew you was the man of God at the warehouse, so I went and told you that you need to tell him, you know, that he shouldn't be listening to rap music.
That's interesting.
And your response was like, you know, that's between him and God, or something like that. I don't know. It was smart, Alec. I thought I remembered it, but
well, I know it was
exact
something.
Words.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I remember. I found out years later that by that statement, Chris thought he said I was a liberal. He thought I was just a liberal.
Yeah, I just wrote you off as a liberal Christian, but you know that was easy to justify in my mind since I wasn't living for Christ at the time. You know.
And it's interesting that, you know, a lot of what goes on or a lot of what passes as you know, the Christian life generally are cultural things. You know, I had a talk with a gentleman from the 100 Black Men here in Columbus the other day, and he asked me what I thought was a challenging question. You know, he said, why are we the only people who reject our culture when it comes to Christ? You know, and just to give you a little clarification of what he was talking about, is he said that, you know, he pointed out that, you know, there's Christians who feel like if you listen to jazz music, then you're going to hell. You know, instead of listening to the content of everything. Because the danger behind that is I hear a lot of Christian music that I think is absolutely ridiculous, but because it's Christian, it gets a pass. Mm-hmm. You know, a good example is I think the song, and it's an old spiritual, old Chitlin' Circuit standard. You know, I'm climbing up the rough side of the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing my best to make it in, and every time I hear that, I think about Christ looking at the palms of his hand. You're making it in because of what he did, and
right.
You're talking about you're climbing up the rough side.
Right.
You know, and there are numerous songs, and then everybody's favorite that makes absolutely no sense. It's, oh, Mary, don't you weep. Tell Martha not to moan. Pharaoh's army get drowned in the Red Sea. Now, what did Mary and Martha have to do with Pharaoh? And so we tend to give it a pass because we don't listen to the content of it. And we've pretty much dumbed ourselves down that if someone says that's cool, then it's cool. If it's not, it's not. Instead of looking at everything, even though Scripture commands us in 1 Thessalonians 5:21, to in Greek it says panta idokimasin, which is to carefully examine and test everything, and then based upon that examination, then you hold fast to the good and abstain from the evil. And what's interesting is the word good there. The word good is kalos, as opposed to the Greek word agathos. Now the difference between the two is that agathos is something having good results.
Mm-hmm.
Which sounds good enough, but you know what? Mormons use that as an example. How could all this good come from something that's not godly?
Mm-hmm.
But kalos is intrinsic good, meaning when you trace it back to its source, it can only go to God because only God is intrinsically good. Let me give you a good analogy that I think illustrates that perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
If you got on a plane, say, for instance, in, I don't know, let's say Denver, Colorado,
mm-hmm.
that plane left California,
mm-hmm.
okay, you get on in Denver, Colorado, it's heading toward Washington, D.C. There's a lot of good stuff to do in Washington, D.C., you know, and you can think of all the good things you can see, all the sights, all the tourist attractions, but what if you found out that plane wasn't intended to go to Washington, D.C.? You see, when the plane left California, its instruments were off by 0.1 degree. It was intended to go to New York City, but the further it got away from the point of origin,
mm-hmm.
the further off course it was. Well, that's agathos. Agathos, I can point out that witches have hospitals. Yes, that's a good thing. You know, but is it intrinsically good? When I trace it back, do I find that it goes to God? Was it intended to go through Wicca?
Mm-hmm.
And so when we're commanded to do that. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, oftentimes we've run into, Chris and I know we've run into some seriously hard-headed people right here in the workplace at the company we work for. You remember that, Chris?
Yeah, you're talking about, yeah.
Without calling names, but individuals who would come to the study and you would think that they absolutely got it and just were not focused and would just, it was amazing, you know. And so all we want to do with the Apologetic Research Center, and that's what this segment is about, just to kind of give you a feel for what ARC is and what it is that we do. We're just a group of guys who don't claim to be the smartest guys in the room. There was a time that we went around and we lectured, but the more home PCs have come to light and become more popular, we become more or less a think tank and kind of work behind the scenes and kind of work, write articles. Chris writes an article whenever he gets the time. Chris, I'm throwing a dig at you. It's called Practical Theology. Again, it can be found at www.arcstudy.org. And all you need to do once you get there is to click the departments. I'm sorry, not the departments tab. If you scroll down on the home page, you'll see a link to ARC departments, and you'll find it there. He has a couple of engaging articles there, one of them dealing on rightly dividing the word, and one dealing with practical theology. What is practical theology, Chris?
Well, for all practical purposes, it's just applying the word, you know, not just studying it, but applying it to your everyday life, and just talks about ways to do that.
Mm. Short and sweet, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Because oftentimes, you know, we become hearers and not doers.
Right.
You know, I mean, Jerry, would you agree that for the most part, a lot of times, and again, without trying to sound too critical, mm-hmm. but a lot of times church services have become entertainment. It's almost like a good play came to town.
Right.
You know, you want to show up early so you can get a good seat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want to entertain, want to be brought to your feet, maybe you can get an encore, and you want to pay your money and then talk about how good the show was when you left. But
mm-hmm.
what did you take with you?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Would you agree that too much emphasis today has been placed on teaching experiences as opposed to experiencing teaching, Chris?
Okay. You know, I can't multitask.
We're going to get you some more RAM.
Because I was looking on the website and see the other article I wrote. Anyway, what was the question?
Well, and this is open to both of you. I mean, how do you often see that too much emphasis in the Christian church has been placed on teaching experiences as opposed to experiencing teaching?
Oh, I can definitely agree with that, and testify that is true when it comes to the church. The church of today has failed in a lot of ways. A lot of emphasis has been placed on volume. We talked about that, you know. I think a lot of times the churches try to appeal to the masses. You know, they tell you what you want to hear instead of what you should hear. I think that the church, as far as evangelism, has been used in the wrong way of increasing numbers instead of appealing to a large audience, instead of evangelism, winning souls to Christ.
Right.
What they want to do is fill benches, but not necessarily win people to Christ. They want to get you in there in a comfortable, relaxed, non-threatening, non-posing, you know, environment. Not saying the church should be it says my house should be a house of prayer. I don't want to paint the wrong picture, but at the same time, what's going on is numbers. Numbers and especially in the American church, numbers normally equals revenue.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
If I could put it like that, and a lot of times the appeal is to the wealthy, the appeal is to the the yuppies, I guess, if we still use that type of term, you know, or you know, yuppies or what, you know, baby boomers, you know, we're the tail end of the baby boomers, that type of thing, you know, people with money who could do something for the church economically, but and they have lost what I call what Keith was doing, you know, the widow's mite. He went after the poor areas, the place where the gospel was, you know, in the dark areas where gospel, where souls needed to be saved. Not necessarily their demographically, it wasn't the rich part of town. It wasn't the place where you can win souls that had a lot of economic power to bring to the church.
Yeah.
But their souls are nevertheless precious.
Yeah.
And that's not to say the suburb souls are not precious to Christ. You know, we got to strike a balance here.
Right.
But the church, I think, has a tendency to reach out to that segment more so than the poor, the hungry, the tired.
Right. And with the poor, hungry, and tired, it tends to be more of a condescending,
right,
you know, missionary. And when I say missionary, I don't mean in the sense of the biblical missionary, when you're going to spread the word. I mean missionary in that you want to get a bowl with some gruel in it, you know,
mm-hmm,
with no spoon, and then, you know, get the photo op with it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so the people aren't given the dignity and respect, in my opinion. I mean, someone would say they should be happy they got a bowl of gruel, you know. But for me, you know, it's how you approach people as much as, you know, would you give that bowl of gruel to somebody with a suit on, you know. And so, you know, I'm, without trying to sound too critical, it's just I agree with you is that, you know, I've seen more than once I've seen individuals who were city officials or at least well-known people in the city join a church. And immediately they're given a position because of their status. And I've also known individuals and seen individuals who've had wealth and pretty much could get away with anything because they gave away quite a bit of money. As a matter of fact, I think I was telling you, Chris, about a time that I watched one of the most prominent deacons of a prominent church here who was in the choir stand. I was pulling in the church parking lot, and he comes running out the church, getting beat up. He's like my age. I'm 46 at the time. We're about maybe 44, he was coming out in the parking lot to beat up a 18-year-old girl. And other deacons couldn't stop him because the girl got in an argument with his daughter. And so, I mean, just things like that. You know, this guy got away, and this wasn't the only thing he did. I just mentioned that one thing because that wasn't extreme for him. It wasn't. Everyone knew he was like this when it pertains to everything, but because he gives so much money, nothing is ever said, and so I agree. Money talks. Interestingly, you know, it flows from pulpits as well. And Peter spoke to that in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 through verse 3, where he said, and I'm reading from the NIV version, but there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. And many will follow their shameful ways and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with stories they have made up. You know, and that's exactly, you know, teaching experiences again. You know, that's all you hear are the stories. And interestingly, Jerry and I were talking the other night about Balaam. You remember that, Jerry?
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about Balaam and greed and how the evil king Balak wanted Balaam, his prophet, to curse the children of Israel, but God visited Balaam first and forbid him to do it. And so it wasn't that God used false prophets, it's just God told him you better not do it. Well, he didn't do it. He listened to God, but what he did do was teach him, okay, well, God didn't tell me not to subvert them from the inside. Which brings me back to this passage where it says they will secretly introduce destructive heresies. And this is all Balaam taught them to do. And Jerry and I were talking about that. And by the way, I did write an article on that called The Rebellion of Greed. Again, it's at our site, www.arcstudies.org. Click the ARC Studies link on the menu bar and scroll down, and you'll see The Rebellion of Greed. Chris, what are your thoughts on that? You know, as far as what play do you see that money and prestige has in the church today?
Well, you know, I was just thinking about the scripture while Jerry was talking. In James 2, verse 1, where it says, "My brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. For if there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings and fine apparel, and there should also come in a poor man in filthy clothes, and you pay attention or look upon to the one wearing fine clothes and say to him, 'You sit here in a good place.'"
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, in other words, in front of the church or up on the mm-hmm. pulpit.
Yeah.
"And say to the poor man, 'You stand there or sit here at my footstool. Have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become mm-hmm. judges with evil thoughts?"
Mm-hmm.
"Listen, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Do not the rich, you know," it goes on. I'm not going to read the whole passage, but it's in James chapter 2. But, you know, it's funny. It's like, it's not funny, but it's ironic that you wonder that, do these people have these parts in their Bible, or do they just choose to store them, or what? You know,
good one, Chris. Good one.
2 Timothy 6 talks about, you know, desiring to be rich, you fall into all kinds of traps, you know. But it's all about money and prestige and
what's interesting,
churches,
Chris.
But,
Chris, what's interesting is it's interesting that you bring up the 1 Timothy 6, because it makes the point that it says if anyone teaches false doctrine, I'm reading from verse 3. "And does not agree to the sound instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to godly teaching, he is conceited, understands nothing. He has an unhealthy interest in controversies and quarrels about words that result in envy, strife, malicious talk, evil suspicion, constant friction between men of corrupt mind who have been robbed of the truth, who think that godliness is a means of financial gain."
Gain, right.
How could you have that in your Bible and then preach what I hear on television today?
Right.
You know, some things you have to dig for to get an answer. But, you know, there's things like this is just like in your face, you know,
yeah.
And you just have to purposely avoid them. But at least that's what I thought. But then, you know, I found out encountering some of these false teachers that they actually, you know, deal with some of these passages and just twist it to their own, you know, to justify their own actions, which, you know, I mean, it's really... really rest in the scriptures terribly, but they do make an attempt to twist it. So it's
absolutely.
Like, not that they didn't see that part in their Bible or that they didn't understand it. They go ahead and read it and willfully twist it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. That is absolutely true. Again, if you want to participate in today's discussion, you can call in at area code 646-652-2905, area code 646-652-2905. And it's for the reasons that we talk about. It's just seeing all these things and how obvious they are. It's almost like having a post-it on your forehead, you know, and yet we hear the contrary preached all the time. I wrote an article called "So You Say We Are Gods," and it was in response to this teaching. I listened to a sermon by Creflo Dollar, and I'm sure you all know who he is. I listened to a sermon by him where he literally said we are gods, and you know, it just bothered me. It bothered me so much so that I wrote the article. And anyway, to make a long story short, I was deluged with emails from individuals saying he never teaches that. You're lying on him. And so what I did was put a link to his site. To the sermon. And the response wasn't, "Wow, you've enlightened me," or "You've opened our eyes." What the response was is that you're taking him out of context. Now, keep in mind, it's his sermon. It was pointed to his site. He says it in the first 5 minutes and then illustrates it. You know, and so it's just a matter of it brings us back to mind of what the Apostle Paul said, and Chris, I'm sure you agree with this, and Jerry, in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4, when he said, you know, he gave the injunction to preach the word, Be prepared in season, out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction, for the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Mm. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. People want to hear that God doesn't want you to be sick. Well, I agree with that. God doesn't want anybody to suffer about anything. But God's concern is your sin sickness. Mm. Now, I'm not saying that God can't heal, because he can, and I have seen where he has with people close to me. I've seen it. But I've also seen people close to me who were godly who died.
Mm-hmm.
Because God is interested in sin sickness and death to God is a benefit, because he has his servant there with him now.
Mm-hmm.
We see death as something foreboding. It's nothing but a doorway. That's all it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so would you agree, Chris and Jerry, just kind of chime in on this if you would, that you know, that's pretty much the prevailing thought, that individuals have convinced themselves somehow that we have godly powers calling those things which be not as they are. And I'm sure you heard that before, Chris, that passage.
Yeah. You know that. I'm sorry. Well, what's the question?
Well, just that, you know, I'm sure you both heard that God calls those, well, we call those things which be not as though they are. And I just think that's interesting because that's only said once in Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And it's said about God, that God calls those things which be not as though they are. And yet, every time I hear that, that's what I hear that we are supposed to do. And you know, I'm not trying to be mean-spirited, but I've always found it amazing that I've seen so many of these name-it-claim-it, you know, prosperity health preachers, you know, who are losing their hair. Now, I'm not trying to make fun of male pattern baldness. I'm not, you know, because, you know,
I think I suffer from that. I mean, that's a sensitive topic here.
See, well, you call those things which be not as though they were.
So,
enough faith, or else if you had enough faith, your hair would grow.
Well, you know what? That we're laughing about this, but according to that theology, Jerry, what you should do is get a comb. You should buy a comb and act like you have faith. Because that's what they say. You act in faith. You step out in faith. So you buy a comb and get up every day and comb your hair till it grows. You know, and so I'm not trying to make fun of male pattern baldness. My point is, it's one of the most common diseases known to man, and they don't control it.
Oh.
These individuals who claim to move mountains, you know, who claim all these things, and interestingly, their prosperity is not based upon the principle they preach. It's based upon other individuals believing what they say and sending them their money.
Yeah.
If they truly believed that giving all their money away and God will give it back, then why don't they send all their money to the people and let God give it back to them?
Yeah, that's always been my gripe, you know. You ought to be, especially as a teacher, you ought to demonstrate your faith by giving your money instead of calling on people to demonstrate their faith and give you their money. You know, why don't it work the other way around? But
yeah, absolutely.
Of course, you know, we know the bottom line is it's not inspired what they're doing. It's greed.
Yeah.
You know, it's inspired by lust. It's not inspired by God. And
yeah, I agree, because what you see nowadays a lot of times being taught is what you know, me and you what I call the coin operated blessing, where, you know, you put 50 cent in, pull a lever, and you get a dollar back, and that type of thing. And well, let me clarify what I mean by that. A lot of times, I do believe God will bless you for your giving and all like that, but the emphasis now has been on a return instead of let's put it like this. Okay, let me describe this. There's a hungry child out there that needs to be fed and clothed. Okay, now a lot of times it's taught if you do this, you know, blessings and all that will come back on your head. And it's true. But I think what has happened to the church today is that what they fail to realize, if I give $20 to feed a hungry child, I am now out of $20. The blessing is that I have fed a hungry child. And that is the part, I think, that we overlook. The blessing is being God, a part of God's hand and his feet, bringing, easing the suffering of the world, actually feeding the child is the blessing.
Yeah.
Okay? Not that so much that I'm going to spend $20 and get $40 back in return some kind of way. That, you overlook the blessing.
Right.
And the blessing is the fact that you're feeding a hungry child.
Yeah.
But the emphasis on the church today is, if you do this, then this would happen. Then you know, the what do you call it, the cause and effect?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Or
and I think that's where the emphasis, would you agree? You know, the emphasis has been on what you can get in return from doing this act, not the act.
Right.
And, you know, we need to concentrate on the act of feeding the hungry child. That is the blessing.
Right.
That is the blessing, that you are being used as the hand of God and bringing relief to the suffering of the world. That is your blessing. Not saying that these other things won't come in return. It's just, don't emphasize that. That's what the church today seems to be emphasizing.
Right.
What's in it for me?
Right.
You know what I mean? So if somehow we could concentrate on bringing that teaching back, you know, that I don't think it's nothing greater than being used as an instrument of God, you know, but somehow we have this what's in it for me mentality.
Well, what's interesting, Jerry, is that you know, what you're saying is in that passage that Chris indicated that most people tear out of their Bibles, 1 Timothy chapter 6.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what the Apostle Paul said in verse 17 of that chapter. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way they lay up a treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, that they may take hold of that which is truly life. And so it's, you know, it's all right there. And it's like Chris said earlier, you know, what do you have to do? Do you got to staple it to your shirt? I mean, it doesn't take any theological study. I mean, that's just clear. It's right on the surface, you know. And what's interesting is we have a local POG pastor, and we have our call prosperity theology. We call them the prophets. P-R-O-F-I-T-S of G-O-T, Prophets of Got, because that's what they are. It's all about profit and what have you got. In fact, we wrote an article called The Prophets of Got. You can find that, again, at www.arcstudies.org. And, in fact, on the homepage, if you scroll down, you'll find The Prophets of Got. But we have a prominent POG here in the Columbus, Ohio area who I was listening to a show one day, and he was talking about how God told him to take his car, which I believe was like a Jaguar or something, or a Beamer or something, and drive it up to Michigan and give it to this other prosperity preacher. And I personally know people in his church who are driving hoopties. Why would God send that car to this other man? It was just a matter of this pastor was trying to curry favor with a bigger POG pastor than himself. You know, if he truly wanted to be used of God, he could have taken that Jaguar, that Beamer, and sold it and broke it down and maybe got three or four Hyundais and, you know, and passed them out to people in his church, you know. And it's just sad that that's the mentality. In fact,
that comes back to, you know, we even have, you know, you hear, you know, we're King's kids. We should have a Mercedes and a Bentley. At least two Bentleys in our driveway, you know what I'm saying, in the big house. God wants you to live well. You're King's kids. You're supposed to have the best. And, you know, I often hear that, you know. And the thing is, you know, the teaching that we are teaching today is so sensitive because, you know, people come against the prosperity. Preachers will come, they want you to be poor and miserable and in poor health, and that's not what we're saying. That is not at all what we're saying. But what we're saying is this. To give you an example, I cannot afford to drive a. I like me personally. Let me emphasize. I think Jaguars are some sweet cars. I really do. I cannot afford a Jaguar, but if I could afford a Jaguar, this is what I'm saying, and this testimony is all glory and honor to God. I may not choose to buy a Jaguar because I don't want my good to be evil spoken of. I don't want to give the wrong impression. So if I could afford a Jaguar, I cannot. But that is, I think that's so important that we're willing to alter our lifestyle, humble our lifestyle even, whatever it takes, not to be a stumbling block in anybody's way. I don't want people to look upon me for, I got wealth, I got this, and, you want to be like me or anything like that. If you don't be like me, imitate what, the Christ in me. If you're going to, not my car, trying to achieve a certain type of lifestyle that is just temporary upon this earth. Right. Are you following me?
Absolutely.
And I think that's where, if anybody who is listening to us this morning, who's under that prosperity message, we got to be careful because what will happen is, apologists often get labeled with, they want you to be poor and barefooted and poor health.
Yeah.
They go to the other extreme when they come against us. And we're not advocating poverty and ignorance and a desperate lifestyle. That's not what we're saying. But the word says that we should live a comfortable life. You know what I'm saying? Our life should be that of comfort and one of it doesn't have to be this extravagant lifestyle. Me personally speaking, it's what Paul said: all things are lawful, but not all things are expedient.
Yeah.
We talked about this. You used the example of going out to dinner, maybe having some wine with your dinner, which we know is. Technically it's nothing wrong with, but you may choose not to do that to set a higher standard.
Yeah.
That's where the emphasis is at. There's a lot of things I could permit myself.
Well, like Paul
to do.
Said, that knowledge is not in everyone, and your brother, his conscience can be seared by your actions.
But by your actions. So you literally will not permit yourself to have a glass of wine with your dinner in order to set a better example. And that's what's important.
Now I do drink Boone's Farm at night. I'm joking.
But your
point is well taken.
Right.
And I think it's interesting that we're talking about this because here we are. We got one panelist who's not on air today because he has the flu. My brother Jerry is going to have shoulder surgery. We have another guy who's going to be a panelist, the logistics director, and he just got out of the hospital, and I had a headache yesterday, so I guess we all are just like...
We all just...
Yeah, my throat's bothering me, too.
we must be terrible sinners because we have these issues. And, right, I'm getting ready to have a rotator cuff surgery, and I did. This is my second one, too. I had one on my right, and now this is my left. So, according to some people, I'm not in the faith.
Well, according to me, who knows, Jerry just tends to do things that he shouldn't be doing.
Right.
And like lifting things. And it's a matter of proper lifting and stuff.
Right,
like that.
Exactly.
But anyway.
And that is my sin of not really probably taking care of myself like I should, which is, and that is the result. That is the result of me. Maybe I'm a workaholic, so well, that's a result of my.
If I might,
go ahead.
I wanted to say that what we've been describing here is more of the extreme, well, not extreme. I mean, it's predominant, but it is extreme in a sense. There's also subtle dangers.
Yes.
And results of this doctrine that have crept into other churches where they may see, the reality of churches of this issue in churches that we're talking, of this what we're talking about. But they don't see it in themselves where they've actually adapted some of these false teachings and incorporated it into their their line of reasoning and their teaching.
Right.
And, you know, it's not as extreme as Creflo Dollar and Kenneth Copeland, and it's not as aberrant as that teaching, but yet they still, you know, incorporate this. And it's a danger because the bottom line is it's still not what the Word of God says.
Yes.
You know, they still expect to be healed, and they leave out the barometer of that whole healing process, which is it God's will? You know, what's God doing?
Yeah.
You know, not what do you want God to do, but what is God doing? What is his purpose? You know, in a lot of situations, you know, you may not find that out. You know, certainly he has the ability to heal.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But does that mean he, you know, that's in his plan?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's all about God's will.
Yeah.
You know, my mom just died. And certainly he had the power to heal her from cancer. But mm-hmm. he chose not to.
Mm-hmm.
Do I know why? No.
Mm-hmm.
But it's in his plan. It wasn't in his plan to heal it. You know, and that's the thing. It's what about God's doing? What is God doing, you know?
Mm-hmm. And that makes sense.
Excuse me, Jerry. One of the things I thought about when you was talking earlier was that, you know, when Jesus didn't heal everybody, in some cases he did heal everybody that was right there on the spot, but in a lot of cases he didn't. You know, when he healed that paralytic that was waiting by the pool, you know, of water that got stirred, and every time everybody would, you know, the water would stir, everybody would, you know, ditch him, and he never got to the pool to get healed. So he told Jesus about his dilemma. He had been in that shape for like 38 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so Jesus, you know, it talks about that story where he healed him. Well, what about everybody else by that pool that was trying to get healed?
Right.
He left. Beautiful. He healed that man and left.
And left, and many came who, right. That's a very, very good point.
And there's other examples where he didn't, you know, he didn't heal them.
And the Bible is.
And Jerry, if I could, real quick, if you're coming up on the last 4 minutes of the broadcast, let me first of all, let me see if I can commit these brothers to next, for at least one of the next 2 weeks, preferably both of them, which we're going to be covering a topic. The show schedule is, the segments are going to be Jesus Only, 1 and 2. Next week, we're going to focus on water baptism. Must all Christians be baptized in the name of Jesus to be saved? The following week, on March 10th, the topic is going to be spirit baptism. Is speaking in tongues the sign of salvation? And so some pretty compelling focus. For the next couple of weeks, if I can maybe twist these brothers' arms, since they're already like broken down and sick, if I can twist their arms to donate some of their time, and maybe we just, Brother Ron should be up and on his feet by then, and we can get him to get involved as well. Chris, could I commit you?
Do you need a commitment? No, I'm just playing. Yeah, you know, Lord willing, I'll be there.
Absolutely. Well, that's blasphemy. Say it in faith. you said if the Lord's will, you know. And Jerry, can I? I can depend on both of you brothers. I'm just asking purely out of formality. Again, www.arcstudies.org is the website. Lots of compelling articles, lots of compelling things that you might want to take a look at. You can email me personally at ryoung@arcstudies.org. And I can divvy out email to those brothers if you want to talk to them, or you can email yourself, Chris Santiago, or C. Santiago, I'm sorry, at arcstudies.org, or J. Robbins at arcstudies.org. Again, we really enjoyed this inaugural broadcast. Kind of got it early in the morning. We're going to have some discussion. Maybe we might move it to a little bit later in the day because, you know, we basically when I looked at this and scheduled it, I looked at my time as opposed to time for other people. So I may move it a little bit later. As a matter of fact, both of these brothers were asleep and when I called them and woke them up. So we'll talk about that again coming up on our last minute. Jerry, you want to take a couple of seconds to your final thoughts?
Just the final thoughts would be, you know, our mission is to bring people back to
the center and the focus being on Christ, and actually fulfilling His purpose. The church, that whatever we can do to help the church fulfill the original mission of Christ.
Amen.
And that's what we want to do.
And Chris, about 10 seconds.
Well, I was just Proverbs 3:5-6. You know, I encourage everybody to just live by that. Trust in the Lord God with all your heart, and it doesn't matter what you think.
Amen. Blessings to you. This is Ark Studies Live. Rick Young, see you next time.
Okay.
Good deal, man.
Beautiful. Now, we can still continue to talk because we're off the air.
Yeah, we can. We're off the air, but we can continue to talk.
Beautiful, beautiful. I mean, that one's good. I was hoping that we could get some calls, and then eventually we will. You know, we probably have – you never know who you are appealing to on the radio, so –
Hold on a second. Hey, Jerry, let me call Chris because he hung up.
He thought
he had to hang up. You didn't have to hang up.
Yeah, so.
As a matter of fact, even if we had callers lined up, you can go for another hour if you need to.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it'll record. It'll actually play. But, hey, you didn't have to hang up, man. We're still talking.
Chris, is he there?
No, it just went off live. But, you know, we can still continue to talk. Even if we get calls, we can answer them.
Oh, really? Oh, so is Chris, Chris
back on?
Hey,
call back in? All right.
Oh,
no,
I can't hear him.
I'm on my cell phone.
Oh,
he thought we had to hang up.
Oh, okay.
I guess I should have got what you guys have made that clear.
Mm-hmm.
Now we could always continue to talk.
Okay.
And like I said, it you actually can go for another full hour. So if you got phone calls you want to continue to answer, what it is that it only broadcasts for an hour. But when somebody goes back on, like if you go to the host site.
Mm-hmm. Now, because
hey,
I had trouble getting.
Hey, Chris, you back?
Yeah.
Okay, there you go.
Because I pulled up the website, but BJ, how did you get on? Do you go through leases? Do you go through what's her name settings?
What do you mean?
I can't. Yeah, see, I don't know. Every time I touch my, I've been having trouble with my computer. I went to get online. I pulled up the site, but then I got the homepage, and. And I see you had that picture up in the corner of us when we were at – where were we at with that? It was me, you, and Ronnie. Was that at – where was that at? At that church in Columbus?
Let me see. Me, you, and Ronnie.
Right.
Oh, no. Up in the right – no, that's me, Robbie, and Ronnie.
That's not me? God.
On the homepage. No, you ain't that. You're taller than all of us, man.
Oh, jeez. Oh, but I couldn't see that. Okay, that was Robbie. Okay. All right, my bad. All right, so I thought that – but I
you
pulled
see
the web.
Ark Study Live? Right
yeah.
To it? If you click that, it'll take you to the host page.
But see, my problem was when I got there, I had a message on my computer saying there's an error. Sorry.
Okay, you know what? They've been doing that. What you can do is go in the menu bar on the left,
uh-huh.
The Ark Studies Live.
Uh-huh.
Click that one.
Oh, okay. But this,
I've been
but
noticing
that
there's a problem with theirs.
Okay.
So I think I'll probably end up just taking that off and linking it into the Ark Studies Live.
Oh, okay. Because I thought it was my computer. Because I've been having trouble with my computer, but I had the homepage, but I couldn't click. And then what happened too? I was worried about. There was some times where you were talking where I lost you, and I was thinking it was because I was on my what I say it was just a slight pause in between you were speaking, and it was a slight pause.
Now you know what happened is somebody called in on my call waiting.
Oh, that's what
that happened twice. So I'm going to have to disable that.
Okay, all right. So that's
yeah, I noticed that too.
Because I hung up. What I did, I hung up. I was on a cordless and I hung up because I didn't. Because what happened if I thought that they may have left the cordless off the hook last night, and if
right.
They do that, you know, the cordless, you know, I lose power. So I went over to the landline, and the landline won't stretch to the computer. So, you know, I wasn't able to get on the computer. But Chris, that was just excellent. I mean, the verses that you pulled up, man, were just so powerful, man. I just, you hit it right on the head. You was just like, boom. The voices that you, the scriptures that you brought up was so appropriate. Because what I wanted to get into is that, you know, I got all excited there at the end because where I was getting ready to go was where, remember when Stephen was stoned? And you know, and
yeah.
You know, literally, Christ was standing up, looking down on the situation, and didn't lift a finger. You know, unless
that's
but, you
know what? Well,
point.
Let me ask you guys a question. I mean, I can put off those segments. You know, you want to do a continuation of just this open discussion next week, or What do y'all
think? I like the subject though. I like your subject. Those are subjects that need to be dealt with. So I think we should stick to the. That's me personally. I think we should stick to the schedule because those are things that should really be dealt with.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Because you can go off on these things. I mean.
Yeah, because what we're talking about is just general things that we have,
right.
Pet peeves that we have. But those are specific things that probably need to be dealt with. So I say just stick to the schedule. Because when you were saying it, I was like, yeah, those are the things that people are really struggling with, man.
Well, let me say this then. Going forward, what you might want to do is if you go to the ARC site and click the counterpoint, have you been born again?
Mm-hmm.
Click that, and you'll see two things. Have you been born again? Gino Jennings, and then the water baptism, the one I wrote.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, basically, and I'm still writing that, and I'm going to finish that this week.
Mm-hmm.
But there's, like, a lot of meat in there already. The only reason I stopped is because I went to the history of water baptism, and I even pulled up some pictures of mikvahs, which were Jewish baptismal areas. You know, what I'm trying to prove is that baptism was common before Christ. You know, so to make it all of a sudden is something special. Christ condemned the Pharisees in Mark 7 because they were eating with unbaptized hands. It was a ceremonial washing. That's all it was. And so as an ordinance of the church, it's just like marriage. It's meant to show an outward show of an inward reality. But if there's no inward reality, you go down a wet center, you come up a wet center. I mean, you go down a dry center.
You want us to go here for what?
Yeah, to kind of like be read up on the topics ahead of time. Because that would help me a lot. Because I confess, you know, because I was like, man, if I could pre-read those areas that we're going to discuss, I could be more knowledgeable and have more. Because for me, you know, you guys are probably more fluent than me, but I need to jot down some notes, some key points that I would like to bring out.
Yeah, I kind of felt like that too on the subject we ended up talking about.
Right, because see, things were coming to me afterwards, like the text, like because I want to bring up the thing, you know, because people say something, something to trigger in me a text, but yeah. I can't tell you where that text is found at. I'm like when you were talking about, you know, God's will, and I was talking about like the Hebrew boys, the thing that you know I emphasize, God, you know, say, let it be known, O King, that our God is able to deliver us, but if He chooses not to.
Right.
We won't bow down. And, you know, and that's the emphasis we wanted to put. The Hebrew boys did not know if they were going to be delivered from the fiery furnace.
Exactly. As a matter of fact, what they said is our God is able to deliver us, but even if He doesn't.
Right.
They knew that it
was
a possibility. So
there was
what I recommend is just like, because, take a tablet, the pen down, and that way you can write down your notes or your thoughts so that while somebody else is speaking, you know, you can get back to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the other thing is, I know Chris has a biblical program. Were you running a biblical program or in your Bible, Chris?
No, I was looking in my Bible.
Okay.
And then, believe it or not, when I sat down this morning, I was looking on the shelf saying, like, do you know I don't have my Bible with me?
Right.
I was looking on the shelf, and because I'm not on the court, I wasn't on the court list, it didn't give me the freedom to roam around and talk at the same time. I was restricted because this phone I'm on has a very short cord, so I'm just restricted to the love seat, and the bookshelf is right here where I normally had a Bible, but it wasn't there.
You said restricted to the love seat.
Huh?
You said restricted to the love
seat. Well, you know what I mean. I can't, you know, basically the phone would just reach to this love seat in the bookshelf, and that's it. That's, you know, that's my situation here. And I don't like to chance that cordless because that cordless, if it, like I said, I know they had it upstairs, and I don't know if how long she talks on that cordless for hours and not putting it back on the charger, it'll go out on you, and I didn't want that to happen.
Yeah,
but
one thing I wanted to keep away from is, you know, going off on our pet peeves.
Right. If we have an agenda, we can stay more focused on we can be more late, you know, more of a sword, focusing in on a particular issue. Because, like, we'll start coming to me at the end. I start getting, like, you know, the stoning of Stephen, the beheading of John, the death of all the apostles. You know, it's surely we know that God is able to deliver from those situations, okay? But again, he chose not to. He chose every, you know, he chose not to. And
those are good examples right
there. You know, and so, you know, you look at these situations, you know, John the Baptist, you know what Christ boasted about John the Baptist. You know, there was no man, he was none greater than born of a woman, I think it was what's the word that he used, but yet he had his hair cut. And then even at the end, John the Baptist was like, hey, are you the one, or should I look for another? Remember how Christ, I just loved how Christ didn't say, I'm the man. Christ just said, you know, the sick are healed, the blind see, the poor, the gospel is preached to the poor. You know, that's how he Oh, what's that? You guys still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay. Must
yeah, but that's, you know, that's exactly the mm-hmm. point that we're trying to make, I guess, with this whole thing is he answered from and referred him back to the Word of God. Look,
right.
You know, look at what's going on. Am I not fulfilling the prophecy? You know,
right.
All these things that those things that he mentioned were
uh-huh.
fulfillment of the prophecies
right, exactly.
that were about him.
Right, that were about him. Right, and that was the, oh, I just love this answer, because his answer was not, his answer was like, you know, I'm the man. It wasn't like that. He just,
or take my word for it. He didn't
right.
take my word for it. He was like, look what's going on.
Look at the works. And I was like, man, that was just such a powerful, and so he went to his beheading, you know, full of grace. He was like, all right, you can cut my head off, whatever you can do. You know, I know that I played my part in this play. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
You know, he went on to, and where was God when it came to the beheading of John? Where was he?
Right.
You know, we all know he was right there. His eye was there. His eye was on the sparrow, as they say. You know what I'm saying? So I was, you know, that's where I started to go off in that area because, you know, because this thing, this faith movement is, know what it really, when you really pull a cover off of it and look at it, it's God being our servant. We tell him to jump and he say how high.
Yeah.
You know, that's really what these prosperity teachers are really teaching.
He's,
you know that,
they,
don't
they've
you?
Turned God into a genie.
They turn God into a genie.
But it's
you know, you rub three times and you get what you want. You know, you get three wishes. You know, that's all the gospel is.
But
you know,
the
that's what they turned
into. Deity is what they've done because mm-hmm. they've taken God and broke him down to make him your servant, and
right.
then they've elevated themselves to Godhood.
The Godhood. Oh,
they've reversed the entire thing. And you know, I didn't want to say this on air, but it always bothered me. And, I mean, this is a legitimate question. It's like, do you think you're God when you're sitting on the toilet?
Hey, well, you're sitting on the throne.
Because that's the most human function you can think of, and you
right.
still are bound by it.
Right.
You can sit there all you want and say, I ain't got to go. You can claim it all you want. You know?
Ricky, you are cruel. You are cruel. Like, you're talking about that Bell Bartlett thing, man, you know, that by faith grow hair.
Well, but you know what? Okay, here you go. Marilyn Hickey said this. Listen, Marilyn Hickey says this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I've heard Copeland allude to it as well.
Uh-huh.
If you don't have money, open up your wallet every day and look in there and say, money, you're going in there. And just keep talking to your wallet
right.
until money gets there. Well, it's the same principle. If
yeah.
you don't have hair, just buy a comb and comb your hair every morning.
Right. Hair grow. Yeah.
It's a ridiculous concept, and it would be funny except for the fact that multiple people, multitudes and multitudes, are following it.
But, dude, I believe that people are grabbing it is because that's what they want. They want to be in control. They want God to jump when they say God do this, God do that.
Well, and that's the one thing that I wanted to read and I didn't read, mm-hmm. but I wanted to, is that on our About Us page,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's the question is why apologetics? You know, and you know, I think it's compelling. Many today have misunderstood what apologetics is. They've assumed
right.
that it is in some way arguing with someone about the Bible, usually over some moot point. Nothing could be further from the truth. The reality is that apologetics, from the Greek word apologia, has nothing to do with arguing and everything to do with defense of the word. And
right.
then it goes into the need. And another point that I wanted to make, and I didn't, was that, you know, you hear all the time about, you know, how things, God's going to have his next move and how things are going to get better, when Scripture says the exact opposite, beginning in Amos. It says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, that I'll send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of the hearing of the word of God.
Word of God.
And,
well, I think that should definitely be brought out the next time because, you know, I saw the need for that. I was trying to get to that point, too, but
yeah.
That's the whole thing with not knowing where we was going to go today. It kind of went. You know, I don't think there was nothing wrong with it. It's just, you know, I didn't
have a feeling out process
where it was going to go and
yeah.
what I wanted to say or whatever.
Right, it's a feeling out because you know, you get, you know, you're on the air and you'd be like, okay, I'm on the air now. And like you said, like, you know, I emphasize, like when I, about Keith, you know, was his death, was the thing was his death, the emphasis, well, was his life was, you know, phenomenal. But, you know, his death was fantastic as far as, like, you know, that people, hey, good morning, hon. You know, people being led to Christ and stuff, you know, even at his funeral, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And those are the things that, see, where I dropped the ball, that's where you picked him up at, Rick. I was like, yeah, because his funeral was just, it was just something
else. It was
else.
Phenomenal. I've never seen anything like it. But just going forward, well, just so you know, that broadcast is going to be, it's not on there now, but just check by the end of the day. I'm not sure how long it takes, but it'll be there. I mean, you can listen to it again if you want to, maybe.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, it'll be on there. Anybody can. As a matter of fact, what I'm going to do is I'm going to put a media thing on the ARC site so that when you go there, it automatically plays.
Oh, so we can go to the ARC site and pull it up. And
well, it'll automatically play if you go there, but, I mean, you don't have to. If you go to the ARC site and you click ARC Studies Live,
mm-hmm.
Okay, it'll take you to the host page,
mm-hmm.
and from the host page, it should be, if you, let me back up to make sure. Okay.
So it's going to be archives. You're archiving it?
Yeah, I'm trying to get to my host page. Okay, hold on.
Yeah, while you're doing that, I was just thinking about, you know, trying to get it centered on what was the need for apologetics.
You look so nice. It's a nice outfit. Is that new?
No.
Oh, is it that? Oh, it's Black History Month thing? Oh.
Yeah.
I've been going to stay at home.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm sorry. Did y'all hear? Oh, I forget. I'm talking to my boys. They're like,
oh, no.
Dang, what's up? I'm like, oh.
I've had this whole thing.
Yeah.
I've had this whole thing.
Yeah, they're sitting there trying to set up Nookie, and we're on the phone.
No, my wife looks so nice. She got this. We're celebrating Black History at our church, and she has this this outfit on, and you know, and I forgot. Every year, we dress up in this get up, and we go to church. But I'm like, I'm not going this morning. I think I'm gonna let her go.
Yeah. But anyway, what were you saying, Jerry? Chris.
Yeah, well,
I was just saying that, you know, I was kind of caught off guard with not knowing where we needed to go, but I think it's important
right.
to focus on, you know, at least I wanted to do that. Focus.
That's
on
why I think we should
why
focus.
Apologetics, you know.
Yeah,
right.
Right.
When the need for it and what is
right,
it.
Right, right. Right, the need for it and what is it, because that's what we tried to get across today, because you know how the prosperity teachers come against us. It's like, you know, the prosperity teachers, they come against us. That's why I mentioned that, because they always say that about apologetics, you know, that they want us to be, you know, apologetic. You got to be poor and all like that, and, you know, to be a good, you know, and that's not what we're saying. You know, they take. But you got to understand what they say. We do the same thing with them, you know. So reason why I'm saying this, because I'm trying to prepare myself for the battle, is they're saying what they say against apologetics, when we attack their prosperity teachings, they come across, oh, you want us to be poor and want us to be, you know, in sickness and disease and have no power and, you know, and that kind of stuff. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I'm trying to head that off at the pass because surely, who could say anything like okay, John the Baptist, remember when he confronted them about, you know, they were scared to say anything about John the Baptist because they knew that the people conceived him as a prophet. Okay, so they didn't want to say anything bad about John the Baptist, but yet at the time of John the Baptist's death, he could have spoke, you know, don't cut my head off in the name of the Lord or whatever, you know what I'm saying? You know, you get what I'm saying? Why couldn't he use that?
Yeah.
You know, claiming and claiming at that time.
I'm not about to get my head cut off. My head is not going to come off.
I claim a
that
dull
sword
axe.
Will bend at the tip of my neck.
Hey,
right.
No, I claim a dull axe.
Oh, Lord. A dull axe.
I'd have to claim more than that because that would still hurt.
Yeah, you ain't kidding. That's what Ricky was saying. Ricky was saying a dull, you know how a dull axe, how terrible it would be? It's literally like, you know what? I purposely did not watch that thing on the internet. I don't know if you guys remember when that one guy they cut his head off or something on the internet. I purposely, but I heard it. My son pulled it up and he said, "Dad, look at this." And I said I could not bring myself to look at it, but I heard them cut when they cut it.
Right.
You know, it was just terrible. You know how they got down to the vocal cords and stuff, and he just started like moaning. Did you guys see that? Anybody see that?
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Oh, Rick, maybe you know what I'm talking about.
Well, I saw it was actually a couple of them. One was Richard Pearl, the reporter in Afghanistan.
Right. Where they it was on the website
Iraq.
Where they showed this guy. They cut his head off with a knife.
Yeah, and I mean, I saw it, man. He was just cutting and twisting. I mean, for a long time.
Right? It was.
Yeah, and then the other one, terrorists. And then the other one was in Iraq,
mm-hmm.
where they were sitting there. At Zarqawi was read his little sermon or whatever, and then they just jumped out and just the guy was screaming,
mm-hmm.
and they just hacked his head off. And you could hear when they cut through the vocal cord, you could actually hear the escape of air.
Ooh. It was graphic.
Is this stuff on the internet?
Yeah.
Man, you know anything is on the internet.
No, you can get anything on the internet. You know, you can go get anything on the internet like that. And there's even, I forget, that my son used to always pull up this one site, something.com, like gruesomeness or whatever, and it would show actual, automobile accidents and where a person would be in a car accident, or one was a motorcycle accident where his body was just literally just, you know, arm was here, leg was there, and you know what I'm saying? And it was just some, you could see some graphic stuff on the internet, man. It was just,
Hey, by the way, if you go to, if you can go to the ARC site and click, not the thing, but click in the menu bar, ARC Studies Live, and then just scroll down later, where it has archive segments, it'll be right there if you click that middle button.
And you'll see that beheading?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You'll be able to listen to the broadcast again.
Oh, you'll be able to listen to the broadcast. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
You just put that on there?
Huh?
That was already there.
What?
What you just said, the archive thing.
No, it's something they automatically do. They record it every week.
I see archive notes.
Well, archive notes is different. If you know, you can write a note, like I can do a note on the segment, and then people can respond back and forth to it. But if you look on the left side where it has schedule, archive segment, show notes.
Yes.
You see it?
Yeah.
If you click on archive segments, there's nothing there now. I'm not sure.
Yeah, you can click on it.
I'm not sure exactly how much is or how long it takes them to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But they'll be able to. Oh yeah, it's okay. What is art? It's moved to archive.
And
but I'm not sure exactly when it goes. When you'll be able to listen to it again.
Oh, okay. All right.
Because eventually it'll show up with the tab, so you can listen to it. I'll find out how long that takes.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll be able to listen to it again. But anyway, overall, I think it went pretty good.
I think it went pretty good.
I agree that it wasn't. You know, we should have had some previous discussion. I mean,
right.
I talked to both of you individually, but we just talked about doing the broadcast, not about, you know.
A couple times you called me, I was like, "What's the question?"
You're like,
"I ain't had no."
First he tried to ask, he was like, "Yeah, well, what was the question?"
Yeah. I mean, but, you know, next time hopefully we can just be, you know, but that was cool. I mean, there was a, I think it went smooth. It's just, next time we just have to probably stay more focused on a topic because we only got an hour, and then, you know, the hour goes so quick.
What about the time? Do you think 8 o'clock or should I move it to 10?
I don't know.
Do you want to just run 8 o'clock and just run that for now?
I guess we could. The thing is, you know, Saturday morning is most people's lazy day, you know.
But for me, you see, that's my Saturdays. I'm up early, but I laze around. It's just like as I get into the day when I start doing stuff. So, I mean, if you start getting to like 10, 11 is probably the latest that I could do it on Saturday and be sure that I'll be able to because,
right.
You know, I can go
you get into so many other things.
Did anybody browse the show, or you would only know that if they called in?
Right.
Oh, okay.
Nobody called in then, right?
So nobody called.
No, except you two guys. Mm. Now, what I expect, I can tell who's been looking and been clicking the links, though.
Okay.
From the ARC site, and I've been looking at that all week, and what I expected to happen today,
mm-hmm.
what I expected to get deluged by
mm-hmm.
either Nation of Islam guys or Geno Jennings people.
Right.
Well, people might have listened in, right?
They didn't necessarily call in.
Right, because you
not only
right.
that,
find out
but told
if
not
anybody
to call.
Did that, maybe you can find out. You know, if nobody did it, then that means that nobody was up. You know, or that wasn't a good time. I was
right.
thinking
and
that
that's what
you
we want
to had
really
as a barometer
at.
Of
yeah, that's what we need to look at.
It,
if we, you know, if we're not getting any calls, it meant that. But you know, I don't know how this work. How long it takes for this to catch on and become popular? Because you got you know, because Lisa and them. When they did their broadcast, you know, they did their broadcast at a local popular radio station. And it's a topic, too, because there's sometimes, like, for example, when my son did the topic on, he did the topic on finance, credit and all like that, young people in credit, that was the topic of the show, man, the phone rung off the hook. And then there are other times when they did, like, when me and Lisa did a relationship show, on our on relationships, we got one caller. You know what I'm saying? Only one caller.
It's just a filling out process. So,
and it's just,
I do think. I mean, what do you think? You think 9 o'clock would be better? What about 9 and 10?
Try 9 next week.
Let's try 9. I think it may be better.
It'd be better for me anyway.
It may be. Tell you truth, it may be better for me too.
Man, I was about to say, no.
Well, both of y'all were asleep when I called.
Huh?
I said both of y'all were sleeping.
Yeah, because I'm not lying. Because you were. Because what happened, Rick? I got up. I got up at 7:30. Because you said you would call me at 8:30, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I got up at 7:30, laid back down to wait on your phone call. And when the phone rung, Lisa answered and got me up. Was like, "Hey, Jerry, it's Ricky." And I was like, "Oh." Because I fell into a deep sleep waiting on you. You know what I'm saying? So when you called me, I was like, oh, okay. You could tell I was asleep.
Right.
I was like, man. But I did get up early to make sure I got the call. You know what I'm saying? So let's try that.
I set both of them to 9 o'clock for the next 2 weeks.
For the next 2 weeks. And what's the topic next week is going
to
be?
Next week. And you can see all this, but the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to the host dashboard,
right.
All of it's right there. But next week is Jesus Only, Part 1, Water Baptism. And the description is, must Christians be baptized in Jesus' name to be saved?
Mm-hmm.
And then that's on March 3rd. And then on March 10th,
mm-hmm.
Jesus Only,
mm-hmm.
Spirit Baptism, is speaking in tongues the sign of salvation. Now, one thing. On, I think it's the first week of April, I'm going to need one of you guys to host it for me because I got to go. My mother's moving back to Columbus.
Oh, she is?
Again?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, but I'm telling you, you know, well, we'll talk more about it later, but I'm glad because my older brother and sister, man, I'm praying for them. And they're not doing anything bad. They're just not as responsible as I like to see them.
Uh-huh.
And my mother's getting older, and I'd much rather have her, you know, down here with me and John. So, so they're moving back down.
No,
that's not what about your?
Not to mention the fact that living in
stepfather.
Canfield, he's coming too. Not to mention the fact. Yeah, they're all coming. But, I mean, there's more to it than just my reason. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Can you, Chris, can you hear him? Chris. Did he get Rick? Can you hear me?
Yeah, Chris. I can hear you, Jerry.
I wonder, it sounded like Chris might have got disconnected because he was like, hello, hello? I don't think he could hear you for some reason.
Well, I'm looking. He's still on the line.
Is he?
Yeah, he's still on there.
I don't know. But anyway, go ahead. You were saying they're coming because you wanted to be – I know what you're saying. Donnie and Pat might not be doing – well, you –
they're not
you
as focused to, in my opinion, as to my mother's needs as,
right.
as I'd like. They don't – I mean, they live right up the street from her.
Mm-hmm.
And she never sees them, you know. And see, I mean, my mother's getting older, man. I just, you know, me and Donna down here.
Trust me, I know, because my mom's getting older. And I'm going to tell you the honest, God, too, that's one thing. I'm glad I'm not real, real far away. Because sometimes, like, you know, Lisa be talking about moving to Phoenix and stuff. And I'd be like, you know, our parents are getting older to be moving that kind of distance. I know she wants it. Ooh, she's listening to me. But to move to Phoenix, you know, but then that's when you got to catch a flight and, you know, it ain't like you just can run home at a spare of the moment, you know.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? There's some serious travel.
Hold on, Jerry. Mm-hmm. Hey, what happened? I'm still showing you hooked up, but I could hear you, but you couldn't hear.
Chris? Oh, you're talking on your cell phone.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. What about it? I'm still showing you connected, though. Yeah, it's still showing. Hold on, maybe it's because I didn't hang up. Okay, now I hung up. Let me see. Yeah, but anyway, I'll call you back, and or you call him back in. Your phone's not working? Well, you can call him with your cell phone.
Yes.
All right. Yeah, he said he has the same thing I have. He has his phone that's through the...
Internet.
Yeah, but I never have any problem with... Well, mine, I take that back. No, I have digital phone. Mine is not through my internet.
Yeah, my phone is through the internet.
Yeah, see, mine isn't.
Yeah, mine's is... I got that Comcast, Triple Play, internet, TV, and phone all hooked into one, you know,
right.
You know, they call it a triple play.
I have the same thing with Insight, but it's not internet. It's digital. It's just digital.
Oh.
It's just like cable is digital. You know.
Oh, okay. See, I don't know. I don't know. I guess when I say I don't know how they do, I don't understand the technology. But I guess it goes through the internet. I guess. I don't.
Well, the downside of it for me. Is that it just increased the amount of money for my security, for ADT.
Oh, it did?
Yeah.
Oh, right, because now you have to have a separate line just for your ADT, right?
So
you got to
exactly.
have a phone.
I have an extra phone line specifically just for that.
Just for your security system, right. Oh, right. I forgot about that part, right, yeah.
Hey,
you have to carry a phone line. Why can't you
get... Hold on 1 second. Hey, Chris, you back with us?
Yeah, but brother, don't hear. No, I'm just playing.
Yeah, but anyway, I really appreciate you guys. I mean, because
I was looking forward to hearing Ronnie. Ronnie is under the weather too, huh?
Yeah, I just talked to him my day before yesterday, and he texted me and said he
new faceless people.
Yeah, I know. Well, and Tom just had the bariatric surgery or whatever.
He did.
Yeah, he did. But that surgery where they bariatric or whatever they call it.
Yeah, for the weight.
What is that?
For weight. It's like a stomach stapling, isn't it, or something?
Well, I think they just sew half of it off or something.
Yeah, it's like a gastric bypass, they call it.
Who had that?
Tom.
Tom.
Yep.
Oh, I thought you said Rob. I'm like, Rob, wasn't that big? What the hell?
Right. Right, no, but Tom, you know, I wonder. That's cool that he had it, because some people who have that, man, they drop weight drastically. It may take 6-7 months, but you'll see a significant change. And then a lot of times they have to have that surgery to have that extra skin removed,
right?
Because they just start like all that massive amount of skin, and they have to have the skin cut
cut off. You know what I mean?
Well, I saw one lady on TV who had like 100 and some pounds of skin.
Right. That she has to, you have to get. Yeah, because I've seen some pretty drastic things where, what was his name? Like Big Boy. Do you remember him? He had it done. Well, Big Boy was he was a popular disc jockey in Atlanta. I mean, he was huge. You know, and that was his claim to fame. He was, he was huge. He had it done. Now he is skinny as heck. But the massive amount of skin that he had to get cut off in the end because, he was just like a, I can just imagine. It was just nasty. You know, because he was huge, man. You know what I'm saying? And he had that surgery done and stuff. So some people can really drop. I mean, the change is significant.
I saw a 900-pound woman last night on TV that was having it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
900 pounds.
900 pounds, yeah.
I mean, it was just unbelievable.
Yeah. I remember, wasn't that on Entertainment Tonight or something like that?
Say again?
Wasn't it on, like, Entertainment Tonight? I seen the previews to it. I didn't see the actual article. But I remember they were saying something about the 900-pound woman and stuff and or something like that. It was like a trailer or whatever I was going to, that I was watching.
Hey, Rick.
Yeah.
I was asking about your stepfather. He's still around, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, because you was kind of talking about your mom like she wasn't, didn't have nobody there.
No, not that. I mean, I'm talking about him, too.
Your brother and sister wasn't being responsible as far as helping her out.
Yeah, but I'm talking about him, too. I mean, he's getting older, too. And
right.
I mean, his blood pressure's up and, he has cholesterol and, he's diabetic and. And so my mother's taking care of him, and then, they're getting older. They're starting to have health problems. And my brother and sister live less than 5 minutes up the street, and they never see them. And so that just bothers me.
They're going to regret that.
Well, yeah, they are. As a matter of fact, last night my sister hung up on me because I guess she's upset because she think I talked my mother into coming back down there. And quite frankly, I did not. My mother, I was just talking to her, and my mother recognizes that they're older and the health problems, and that she talks to me and John more than she talks to them. They don't even call.
So Pat was kind of upset with you.
So she's upset because she thinks that, I'm pulling her away,
You know, but see, that's funny, though, because that's all she's really worried about.
Yeah.
The fact that, Rick, did this and pulling her.
She needs
but
to think
she's
of
right
what's
there, and you
mother.
Ain't doing nothing. You ain't talking or coming around.
Right.
Right.
And
so
now
all of a sudden you're upset because she's moving to. But what does it matter to her?
Yeah. Well,
it doesn't matter if she moved to Arizona. If you're not calling and visiting her, it don't matter where she's at.
Well, when you think about it, though, see what it boils down to is it's a slap in the face, because
my mother's
moving down here. Because she feels more secure being around my younger brother and I. So what does that say about her, my older brother and my sister?
Sister, right. And they're the oldest, they should be,
is,
the one stepping up to the plate,
What that says is I feel less secure around you two.
Right, exactly.
And so that's all it is.
So she's taking it personal,
No, well, she's taking it the right way then.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so when she, last night when we talked about it and she, before she hung up on me, I told her, I said, I'm not judging anything. I told her, when I talked to her, she had been drinking, and I told her, I said, look, I'm not judging you on drinking. You could drink turpentine if you want to. This has nothing to do with that. This has to do with the fact that, I just want to make this a smooth transition. That's all. She don't need the stress and trying to use guilt and all the rest of that stuff. I didn't ask her to make the move. I did not. She decided it because she looked at everything. And there are other dynamics involved. Darren goes to school in Canfield. He's the only black kid in school. It's like him. It's almost like everybody hates Chris. It's like him and one Chinese guy. And they're like the two minorities at the school.
Oh, yeah, because you got to understand, Chris, Canfield is like, that's the last frontier in our home area,
That's where the last area the Klan was when
yeah,
we grew up.
You know what I'm talking about? Canfield was like the last holdout. You know what I'm saying? Because Boardman, you got a lot of blacks that live in Boardman now. Boardman, you know,
Boardman,
they just have
Liberty everywhere.
Yeah, Boardman, Liberty, they just accepted it. But Canfield and Poland, they're like the last holdouts. You know, they're like the last white frontier.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, you know, if but, you understand that, you know,
yeah.
you understand, you know, I
got
can
a graphic image when you mentioned the word frontier.
Yeah, it's the last great frontier, white frontier.
Because
Boardman be wanting Boardman, because Boardman be wanting blacks to come out there because of their sports program. You know, because Boardman been suffering the last couple years, you know, far as sports. You know, so they be like, they be wanting that black blood to come out. They be like, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Because they be wanting to win a champion. And it's funny, and Boardman, you know, and Boardman still, you got 2% black or something like that. And the 2% black is all on the football and basketball team. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, Jerry.
Yeah.
What's your email address again?
My email address is faceliftpainting1@yahoo.com.
Faceliftpainting.
Oh,
number
two.
One.
Let me see. @yahoo.com. Okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to create the ARC email address for you, and I'll send it to you with a password. You can change it so you go in. So if somebody emails you, they don't have to type your regular email.
Okay, it's cool.
So it's going to be jrobbins@arcstudies.org.
Okay, got it.
And I'll send the password to you. Hey, Chris.
Yeah.
What's your email address? Do you remember your ARC password?
It's the same as before. I'm surprised.
Do you remember your ARC studies email address and password? Email password?
I don't know. Let me try to access it.
Well, you think it's going to come back to you by faith?
Well, I'll put the one in there and
see if
it works.
Yeah, you're going to step out in faith. Go ahead, step out in faith.
How do you get there?
Oh, man. Why you got to see? I got everything point and click. You're going to ask me a question. Hold on.
Apologetic links?
No, hold on 1 second.
Oh, that ain't it.
I'm trying to remember.
Departments? I'll just go to my thing and no, I can't email myself. Can't.
Hold on. It's, okay, it's, and just save this. It's, okay,
thanks.
HTTP, it's mail.
So I can't get to it from the web page?
From the ARC page?
Yeah.
Yeah, from your article. That's right, you sure can. No, that'll email you.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, it will. Just go to mail.arcstudies.org/login. What I'll do, I'll tell you what, let's just do it this way. Hold on.
Go to what?
This is what I'm going to do. What's your current, is it ARC2 Coles?
Yeah, it don't have an S, though.
R2Cole at what?
Huawei.com.
Wow, that's right. What I'm going to do is I'll just send, I'm going to send both of you the URL to get to it in an email.
Mm-hmm.
Once I create yours, Jerry, and I'll create that actually in a second here.
Mm-hmm.
And then, Chris, let me send that to you right now. And then what I do is
you can create a link from that, and I just save that email. I just go into there and click onto it, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let me see. ARC. Okay, yeah, it's still the same thing. All right. Anyway, I just sent it to you, Chris, without a subject. So. Chris, you got it?
No, I'm...
Okay, well, anyway.
Ready to get on my mail.
Okay. And just so you know, I'm going to put together just a sheet, just a fact sheet.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I'll do that by tomorrow, the day of tomorrow, just with some bullet points because, Like right. I said, I'm still writing that article. As a matter of fact, that's on my agenda for today because I want to finish it because it's like multiple pages.
Mm-hmm.
But there are also other things that I expect that are going to come up around that.
Mm-hmm.
And the best way, I think, to focus on that. Hold on a second.
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Still with us.
Yeah.
Hold
hello?
On 1 second, guys. Yeah. Hey, Ron,
yeah,
how you doing? Hey, why don't you call on and talk to anybody? I mean, we're off air, but we're still talking. You don't have faith. We said that on air that you didn't have enough faith. Yeah. You feel comfortable talking for a few minutes? Okay, we'll call it 646. I forgot what the number was. 646. 652-2905. All right. Yeah, that was Ron called with a broke up voice, a faithless broke up voice. But yeah, that's the first time I remember Ron being sick since I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. But anyway,
is he still out there in Austintown in the townhouse?
No, actually, you know, he's the interim pastor of Rising Star. He's been interim for about a year. They're going to make their final decision, I think, Sunday.
Oh, but is he still working at General Motors?
Yep.
Oh, okay. God, he's been out there close to 30 years, haven't he?
Well, hold on, he's in now. Hey, Ron, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good. How you doing?
All right, got Chris and Jerry on the phone. We're off the air, but we're just still on the, you know.
Hey, Ron. Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, man. How long you been out there at General Motors? You got some time in there now, don't you?
Oh, yeah, in June it'll be 29 years.
29 years?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought so. I thought you had some... And you never had any interruption of service. You've been pretty much, you know, you never got laid off or anything, have you?
Well, I've been laid off back in the very beginning when I had lower seniority. My first 60 months there, I only worked about 24.
All right, forget about all that, what you do in your private life stuff. Hey, did you hear the broadcast, Ron?
No, I didn't get it.
Okay.
You have to be on, Windows Media Player to do it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you went, just go to the ARC homepage and click ARC Studies Live.
Yeah,
and then you click the listen while it's on there. Anyway, okay. All we did was just a general show, just sort of a history of ARC, and then we just basically had an open discussion. Actually, it turned out pretty good. We kind of came into our own more later in the broadcast than earlier.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
And so what I did was a couple of things we're just talking about over the next couple of weeks because Jerry and Chris are gonna call in next week. You think you'd be available Saturday morning?
Yeah, I might be able to call in next week. Yeah.
Okay, it's 9:00.
I'll just confess out my flu.
You know what? But you can't get a prayer past the ceiling, though. So. But anyway, the topic next week or the segment is it's the first of the two-part series, Jesus Only Water Baptism. Must Christians be baptized in Jesus' name to be saved?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. And then the following week on March 10th is going to be Jesus Only Part 2, Spirit Baptism. Is speaking in tongues the sign of salvation.
Okay.
And so we're just talking about just kind of wrapping up the loose ends with that. I told him we're going to put together a fact sheet, you know, just some quick facts, and I'll send those out.
Are you guys there or is it a telephone conference?
Say again?
Are all of you guys there, or is this a telephone conference?
Telephone conference.
Okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the beauty of it. I actually have a control panel on my – I run two monitors with my computer.
Yeah.
And so, I'm able to keep one thing on one and look at something on the other. And
okay.
So on the one, I keep the control panel. I can see call-ins. I can, you know, see who's there and control it like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually technology, man. Having, and you've done radio broadcasts too, Ron, and you, Jerry, as well. None for you, Chris. but having done radio broadcasts, basically you're able to do at your PC what the guy in the other room does.
Okay, yeah.
You know, the guy's always in the other room taking
the
phone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You can see it all right here, and, mm-hmm. and so it really I think it's fantastic. It's a fantastic tool.
Yeah.
So anyway, probably the last thing. Let me see, because we got about 10 more minutes. Because let me explain to you what's happening, Ron. The show's an hour, but you can continue to talk. Say you got calls backed up, or you just want to talk afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
It's still you still have the link for an hour after the show.
Okay.
Oh wow.
Yeah, and so that's what we're doing. We're just talking. The first hour.
The number's live for an hour afterwards.
Yeah, and what's going to happen is the show from this morning. I'm not sure exactly when it archives.
Mm-hmm.
But it'll archive, maybe it'll be tomorrow, but it archives and you can listen to it. It'll stay on there. Unless I delete it, it'll stay on there indefinitely.
Yeah.
And so you can listen to the show then. And then also it's there for other people. I've actually gone back and listened to people's shows from like a year ago or 6 months ago. So that'll be there. But anyway, you can have up to three topics or schedule three segments in advance. And so after those two, I mean, basically, I think it's a good format, you know, because I can have up to five callers, which means all I need is one line open for a caller.
Right.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying? And one for somebody waiting to call in, and we can discuss. So what I'm hoping to be able to do is depend on you guys to, you know, either all of you or some of you in some configuration to, you know, just to have a little panel so we can have some discussion in between.
Oh, yeah, that sounds good, yeah.
So anyway, any ideas for a segment after this coming series, the next 2 weeks?
Well, there's a long lot of topics you can deal with. I mean, this one you're dealing with modalism, basically, correct?
Right. That's what these two are.
Yeah. You want to still stick to the same theme of cults, you could deal with another cult, maybe either the Jehovah's Witnesses or the Nation. Or the Pogs. The Pogs are a big one.
Yeah.
That's
well, what seems to be growing is Mormons. Yeah. They really, well, maybe I'm talking off the top of my head. It's just that they're really hitting the TV a lot now. You know?
Right. Yeah, they have been.
With their commercials about, you know, kids don't need to be baptized and all like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, and those are all, that's a good idea. All of those are good ideas. Chris, you got any comment?
No, I don't even know what you're talking about.
Chris said that like two or three times on the air.
Right.
Yeah, I can't multitask, but I'm reading this thing. I just realized that somebody responded to, I guess, to my article.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I'm reading. I didn't even know I had this. This is in my saved mail.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
I never opened it. It was some lady named Kelly. She said, "I am delighted that I came across your website." So, I mean, I was trying to read that. Just talking about
back
those.
Like 5 years because I asked it.
What's the date?
No, let me look at what the date is. It's like, Wednesday, August 10th, 2005.
Yeah.
And you better start reading your email.
Wow. I guess
was she looking for some kind of response? Was she?
I was trying to read it. I don't,
okay.
I,
yeah.
I don't know.
No, what
I,
it is.
Yeah, I think so.
He's feeling guilty now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I am.
You're
like,
losing
your
salvation now, Chris.
Huh?
You're losing your salvation now.
That's going to hell number 17. That's the trouble people don't check their email.
Are you aware of anyone preachers that are were caught up in this heresy and have repented?
Yeah.
What heresy is that?
Huh?
Which heresy?
Oh, about Job. She's talking about Job.
Yeah.
So that, maybe you already got this, Rick. Maybe I just got a copy.
Wait. What heresy?
It says Job sinned by his fear.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, that's a twist on the Pog thing, yeah.
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 By him, so what is it saying? By him, that he was afraid, so it was sin, or? I don't get it.
What you need to do, my brother, is go to the ARC website and check out doing a job on Job.
Oh.
No, you remember back when I was hearing write that, don't you, Chris? I mean, I kept saying, Job must die. You remember that? And you was like, what the heck are you talking about? And it's because I was getting frustrated because I just kept on hearing people beat Job up. And I was trying to think of something that was compelling, that to be eye-catching, you know, that would address that issue. And I was like, "Is Romeo Must Die" was out, and I was like, "Job Must Die." Chris was like, "What the heck are you talking about?"
Hey, Rick, but explain that to Jerry was asking, "What are you talking about as far as that?"
Oh, doing a job on Job.
Well, Job sending out a fear, or
Because, okay, you have what's called the law of non-contradiction, Jerry. Mm-hmm. The law of non-contradiction says if I make any all-inclusive statement and you show me one instance where I'm incorrect, then I'm completely wrong. I'm not mostly right.
Mm-hmm.
So if I tell you that it's all oak trees in South Bend, Indiana, and you show me one pine tree, then I was completely wrong. Because I didn't say there are most, I said there are all. Well, according to their theology, what they teach is that every act of calamity that comes on you is brought on by your fear. Fear draws negative, faith draws the positive. And so Job is the glaring slap in the face of that theology. Because Job did nothing for that to come upon him. And what they try to point out is that Job had fear because he made sacrifices continuously
for
his children, and he said that thing that I feared has come upon me. But the problem is you have God attesting to Job. As a matter of fact, after the first time, this is after Job had made sacrifices, after all of that, when Satan came to God and God brought Job up, God said he's righteous and upright. That's what God said. And then Satan said, yeah, because you protect him. God said, okay, well, take his stuff, but don't touch him. So God allowed Satan to do it when Satan came back. And this is after Job said, that thing I feared has come upon me. And Satan said, God brought Job up again. But only God said this time. He said, he's righteous and upright, though you have caused me to move against him without cause.
Right.
So in other words, there was nothing that Job did that brought that on him. And so, therefore, Job is the perfect example or the perfect context of a believer or a follower of Almighty God in the context of health and wealth, you know, which is to say, I don't understand it, but I trust you, O God. Though you slay me, yet will I trust in you, you know. And so it's a slap in the face to them. If Job is right, then they're completely wrong based upon the law of non-contradiction. And so that's why I put that out there. It's actually an excerpt, too, from the Pog theology, but it's actually an expansion and excerpt on that. That's why it's called Doing a Job on Job.
Even the context of chapter 1 of Job, when you look at that, it talks about all the things he was doing. You know, the context is praising him for all that.
Right.
You know, all the sacrificing. He's never shown in a negative light at that point, you know.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, you can't get any clearer than he was upright and righteous man.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
It's pretty clear what God has to say about him before we go into the rest of the book. It comes right out and says where he stands. So, I mean, I think it's for that purpose. So you wouldn't think that,
right?
And obviously his friends were thinking, you know, that he did some sin.
What I love about it is,
and they still missed the point.
What I love about it is it's in layers, because in chapter 1 it says he's righteous and upright. Then the next time when God says that, he says he's righteous and upright and there's none like him in the earth. Then the next time he says he's righteous and upright, there's none like him in the earth, even though you caused me to move against him without cause. He doesn't get worse with the calamities. It gets better.
Good God.
Hey, let me clear something up real quick. This ain't a mail that I didn't respond to. This is a copy you sent me.
Okay.
Somebody that was asking you about a Job.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you probably don't remember because it was August 2005. But
was she the one that got discouraged and ended up going to a Pog church? And she heard him talking about Job?
No.
Yeah.
She was discouraged because she was hearing that teaching and then the pastor was supposed to meet with her, and she was intimidated by that.
Yeah.
By the potential meeting, but she says she was glad to see your website because she couldn't believe she was hearing that stuff in church and wondered where he got it from.
Matter of fact, if I remember correctly, she had dropped out of church altogether, and then she went to a church plant, a smaller church, and it was fine. And then as they got bigger, they started taking on that theology.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy, man. Hey, it'll probably click off here in about a minute because it's 9:59. Ron, just so you know, next week is going to be 9 o'clock. We start to move an hour back.
Okay. Hey, Ron and Terry, it's good to hear you guys' voices.
Yeah, it's good to hear you, Chris. Good to hear you, Ron.
So anyway,
I don't know about yours, Ron. It don't sound too good.
that's a faithless voice.
Check, yeah.
Check your ARC email. Ron, do you remember your password to that?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Okay. And Jerry, I'll send you yours and the general initial password. I'll send that to you today.
Okay, sounds good.
I appreciate you, brothers, and, you know, I'll be talking to you throughout the week.
Okay.
All right.
All right.